Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Morning. I hope you all have a blessed morning. And we are going to be starting the prayer this morning in the worship as we speak God's word every Sunday at 1:30 p.m. And we're going to invite all of you, if you would like to call in to sing with us, to have a testimony, to say a prayer, to ask for prayer, whatever the case may be. The call-in number is 657-383-1630. Again, it's 657-383-1630. And I really would like to have everybody join in this morning because, as many of you know, with everything going on overseas right now, the Iran and Israel and Gaza and Ukraine and Russia and China and North Korea, we've got a lot of things going on, and the United States has gotten too far involved. And so we really need to start praying, and we also need to start asking for God's guidance, direction, and protection. So we're going to have with us this morning singing, and that is going to be Darlene Hereford. And Darlene, after the prayer, after the song, she's going to say a prayer. So again, if anybody would like to call in and actually sing along or do a testimony, prayer request, whatever the case may be, please feel free to do so. We all have to start uniting. We have to unite. We have to start coming together as the children of God, not as our own individual selves, but as the children of God, regardless of age, gender, race, or religion. So I hope everybody will follow suit in the song that will be sung this morning. Darlene will be coming on in a few minutes. So I'm going to just say a few things. I would like to say a prayer to start off with, and I hope everyone is listening, and I hope, again, everyone will want to do the same, call in. But we're going to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. And Father, please help us to forgive those who have trespassed against us, and those who are trespassing against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For you are the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. We come before you, Father. We thank you for allowing us to come before you any time we want. We don't have to make an appointment to communicate with you. And even though we can't see you, when we really, really dig deep into prayer and communication with you, we do feel your presence. I feel your presence at all times. So I thank you. I thank you for waking us up this morning. I thank you for the rest that we did have. I thank you for the bed that we rested on and the pillows we laid our head on. I thank you, Christ Jesus, for the ransom sacrifice that you made on our behalf, the blood that you shed on our behalf so that we will have salvation. I thank you, Christ Jesus, for your obedience to the Father, for teaching us about the Most High, and also for teaching us how the fruitages of the Spirit work. I thank you for the healing that you did when you were on this earth, the physical healing, the mental healing, and the spiritual healing. I thank you, Christ Jesus, for being there for us, for making it all possible. I thank you for hearing these prayers, and I thank you, Father, for letting us send our prayers and our petitions up to you, along with our praises, glory, and honor to you. I thank you for all these things. I thank you for the vehicle you loan us to get around in. I thank you for the shelter you provide for us, and I thank you for all the things that you have done through us and with us and for us and our loved ones, our brothers and sisters, your children, again, regardless of age, gender, race, or religion. I ask you to be with us this morning as we do the sermon, as we talk about you, as we talk about the blood that was shed on our behalf, and as we talk about all the things that are going on in this world today that we are asking you to be in full control of. We thank you for these things. We give you praises, glory, and honor. And I do so all in and through the very, very, very precious, blessed, and adorable name of your Son, our Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Father. So we, again, are waiting for Darlene. I don't know what happened because she was just on with us a few minutes ago. I believe, let me see if I can pull her back in. But as we speak, I mentioned earlier, yes, The call-in number audience and everyone is 657-383-1630. Okay, so audience, as I was saying, we heard yesterday on the news, and it was pretty hot, that Iran attacked Israel in retaliation for Israel attacking Iran. These are things that are going on. Israel is in the middle of a lot of things these days. But as I always say, and as I've told so many people, in Ezekiel chapter 7, and I've sent this around to everybody, and I hope that you actually will get a chance to look it up in the Bible. Ezekiel 7, starting at verse 7. And I'll give everyone a chance to find it if they want to open their Bibles to that section. Ezekiel 7, starting at verse 7. Because people are not looking or reading their Bibles. Not to say that none of you are, because you possibly are if you're listening to this. But there's a lot of people in society, even our government, that doesn't seem to know the scriptures. Because if they did, they wouldn't be interfering in God's, actually God's judgment upon Israel. But what the Bible says in Ezekiel, starting at chapter 7, starting at verse 7, is the Lord's judgment on Israel. The Lord spoke his word to me. He said, Son of man, this is what the Almighty Lord says to the people in the land of Israel. The end is coming. The end is coming to the four corners of the earth. Now the end is coming for you. I will send my anger against you. I will judge you for the way you have lived, and I will punish you for all the detestable things that you have done. I will not have compassion for you or feel sorry for you. I will pay you back for the ways you have lived and for the detestable things you have done. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This is what the Almighty Lord says. One disaster after another is coming. The end is coming. The end is coming. It is stirring itself up against you. It is coming. Destruction is coming to you. Inhabitants of the land, the time is coming. The day is near. There will be confusion. There will be no joy in the mountains. Soon I will pour out my fury on you and unleash my anger on you. I will judge you for the way you have lived, and I will punish you for all the detestable things that you have done. I will not have compassion or feel sorry. I will pay you back for the way you have lived and for the detestable things that you are still doing. This is Bible scripture, Bible prophecy coming to pass. And unfortunately, we have a government that's getting involved in all of this. And it's sad, because this is God's judgment upon Israel, as it says, as it's been prophesied. What we need to do is focus on our own being, our own selves, our own country. Because if we don't, we're going to be dragged into something that we don't want to be a part of. Because it's not just going against other countries, it's going against God's will. So I just wanted to let all of you know this, so that all of you will be more prepared and will be more understanding of what's going on and try to stay neutral through it all. So we are now going to have Darlene Hereford sing our opening song for this sermon that is going to be preceding her song and her prayer. Darlene?
Thank you, Loyana. I'm going to pray. I almost let go. Lord, I've heard of showers of blessings. Let some drop now fall on me. Lord, I've heard of showers a blessing. Let some drop now fall on me. Even me, Lord, even Even me, Lord, even me, let some drop, let some drop, let your hand now fall on me. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And Satan is a liar. Satan is a liar. We serve a God that deserves to be adored, that deserves to be praised, that deserves to be worshipped, and given all the glory. Praise God. Amen. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for breath. I'm just grateful that He is who He is. And his name that I know is Jesus. And He's the only God. He's a jealous God. And I mean, His blessed assurance, okay? Jesus is mine. Jesus is mine. Things that we take for granted are actual blessings. And we're rooted in Him. We as Christians are rooted in Him. Our absolute assurance. God is in control of all things. And the confidence is quiet. And thank God for that. But, I'm going to read a prayer right now, Leona, and to our listeners. I want to say, Father, thank you that you bear much care through, and I ask in the name of Jesus, and I will receive, and so that my joy and my gladness and my delight may be full, and completely overflowing. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and therefore I count it all joy, all strength, when I encounter tests and trials of any sort, because I am strong in you, Father. I have the victory in the name of Jesus. Satan is under my feet. I am not moved by adverse circumstances. I have been made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. I dwell in the kingdom of God, and have peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, darling. You know, we have to keep praising. And, I think I've mentioned this before to the audience, how this all started back in the days when Satan deceived Adam and Eve. But one of the things is people don't understand sometimes what Jesus died for. They don't understand why the blood needed to be shed. Back in the ancient times, in olden days, the Old Testament, when they spoke about the Pharisees and how they would sacrifice the pastors or priests or whatever they called them back then, how they would sacrifice bulls, animals, for the ransom sacrifice. But what happens is, and I think this is why God decided to send the Christ Jesus, who had no blemishes, because those who were sacrificing the animals were sinners themselves. The animals were being sacrificed by sinners themselves. And this is why we have the Christ Jesus come into this world, into this earth, and sat with his disciples, his 12 disciples at the Last Supper, and said he came into this world to be a new covenant. We were talking earlier about Israel and the judgment upon Israel.
Mm-hmm.
When the Christ Jesus talked with his disciples at the Last Supper, the new covenant was to make it available for all Gentiles as well as others all over the world to become a part of this property of our Creator. And so the ransom sacrifice was so that not only would we have salvation, but we'd also have that hope that someday we are going to be with our Father, whether it be on earth or in heaven. Because we know when saying the Our Father, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. When it talks about in the Revelations, in the end, when it talks about the new Jerusalem, the new earth, the new heaven and new earth, God is pretty much letting us know that we have hope to be in a perfect paradise once again, that we didn't lose it all, because of the sins that were initially created. And we want to talk about these things because it talks about in Psalms 139, chapter 139, verse 14, it says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knows right well. Waiting. Are you waiting for God? Are you waiting on God to strengthen you, to fight your battles for you?
Mm-hmm.
This is what I am. And I'm sure, as Darlene said, I'm sure a lot of people are waiting for God to strengthen them and to fight our battles for us and the battles of our loved ones. But we have to really believe in God. And one of the problems we have in this world today, in this country and around the globe, one of the things that we have is that we say, but we don't do. We say we believe, but we don't really believe.
Yeah.
Because if we did, when we have our trials and tribulations, as it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Because we should count it all for joy, as it says in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. It says, Count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Our trials and tribulations are giving us wisdom. Because when we can get through something that we don't think we're going to be able to get through, but we do get through it, then something else happens, something more, even more traumatic or more demanding or more troubling. So we have to all over again, start all over, trying to get that strength and endurance. And every time we're able to overcome, we're going to be tested with something even more.
Yes.
But as this says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation he will also provide the way to escape, that you may be able to endure it. So if there's anyone among you suffering, as it says in James chapter 5, verse 13, if anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises. That's another thing we fail to forget. When we are in need of God's help, protection, we always seem to pray to God for his protection and for his help. But when we're not in trouble or when we have no trials or tribulations at that moment or at that time, do we take time to pray and say, Thank you, Father. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you for getting us through what we've gone through. Thank you for answering my prayer. For Father, you are worthy to be praised and glorified. We need to continue to do that even when we are under duress, when we are under affliction and persecution. We have to think about these things. In Hebrews 10:34, it says, For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. God speaks about the prisoners as well throughout the Bible. And many people, I noticed recently, there was, let's say O.J. Simpson, he ended up dying recently. I don't know if everybody heard about it. But the media and everybody was focused on what he did in his past rather than what happened to him. And one of the things we have to do is let the past be gone when somebody dies, because their past, they have paid their dues to society, and if they have any dues to pay to God, our Father, our Creator, let it be between God and man. We don't need to be, we don't need to be saying good riddance, as some people said. We need to be saying, may God forgive him for what he has done, because the man paid his dues. And this is not just with this particular individual. We're talking about so many people around the world who have made mistakes, whether they are behind the walls or in the communities, whether they are in their own homes or the homes of others, whether they are in nursing homes or homeless shelters, whether even in the churches, even in the streets, people make mistakes, and we have to learn how to forgive. What's going on overseas right now, this retaliation, this anger, these killings of innocent men, women, and children throughout the world, this is not necessary. And look who's doing it. The very people who were in the very beginning when biblical, spiritual, and Bible prophecies were first started. These mm-hmm. are people that should be coming together in unity as Esau and Jacob, his brothers, did. The brothers did with Isaac and Rebekah's two sons in her womb when God told Rebekah there are two nations in your womb.
Mm-hmm.
God was talking about the Jews and the Arabs, and what's happening is the Jews and the Arabs are right now are at war with one another over in the Middle East. They're supposed to be our role models, but they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, more lives are going to be lost, and we are going to be shortly in a, I believe, a holy war if we in the United States don't stay away and remain neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So these are some of the things that we should consider. And I say this all the time because we say, because if you confess, and this is in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus the Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But it also mentions in Psalm 23, verse 26, it's a Psalm of David. And we said this last Sunday, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And I'm going to use the word us instead of me. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For you, dear Father, are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. You preparest a table before us in the presence of our enemies. You anoint our head with oil. Our cup overflows. God is never weak, as I mentioned last week as well. He never gets tired. He understands everything that you're going through, everything that all of us are going through. We are his children. Again, regardless of age or gender, regardless of race or religion, we are his children. And he gives power to those that are weak and also strength that we need. As he says, like in Leviticus, and I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. These are scriptures that God himself has said. And people, again, going back to the Arabs and the Jews, in Psalms 34:17-18, you know, it says also Muslims believe that Jesus was a prophet of God and was born to a Virgin Mary. They also believe that he will return to the earth before the day of judgment to restore justice and defeat the Antichrist in evil. So when people seem to judge, which it says we should not judge, we should not judge lest we be judged. But when we start to judge, we have to know what we're talking about. Because we have to realize there's the Christians, there's the Muslims, and there's the Jewish people. They're all different cultures, races, religions. But they also have to believe that there is a God and the Christ Jesus did give his life as a ransom sacrifice so that we may have that salvation. And it mentions again, going back to the prisoners, Hebrews 13:3. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you already also are in the body. We have to remember something. It could happen to us. We could be in the situation as so many other people around this country and around the globe. We could be going through the same thing that many of them are going through. And many of us are going through that. But whenever we think of what we're going through, and then we see what's going on in other countries, in other places, even the United States, we see people sometimes that are so much worse off than us that we have to thank God. We thank God because he's not putting us in that situation. He is the fatherless mm-hmm. to the father. He is the father to the fatherless and an advocate for widows. God rules from his holy palace. So we have to learn to do what is right, promote justice, as it says in Psalm 68, verse 5. Give the oppressed reason to celebrate. Take up the cause of the orphan and defend the rights of the widows. We have to look at these things. We have to keep these things in mind at all times. Because if we don't, we're going to be going before our Maker as well. And I'll say the people that are in this country and around the world, around the globe, that have done so much injustice to your loved ones or to you, because there's a lot being done to those people behind the prison walls. And when Jesus came mm-hmm. into this world, he didn't come to associate with the wealthy. He didn't come to associate with those who were much better off. He came looking for the lowly ones. He came looking for those who were hurting, those who had so many issues in their lives. He came to help them so that they will draw closer to God. But when we have people in our environment that are judgmental, that are hateful, that are corrupt, that are deceptive, that are liars, that are racist, that want the worst for somebody, we have a problem. Not we, but the people that are feeling this way.
Yes.
I know when people have committed a crime and somebody dies, and I go back to the victims. We have to remember the victims, but we also have to remember those victims behind the prison walls. And unfortunately, there's no help for these people who have mental illnesses. They just shove them in prison. They abuse them more. And these people get worse and worse and worse. They don't come closer to God that way. And they don't get healed. So the mental illnesses are still there. When they come out in the community and they do another crime or they do something really severe, everybody's ready to, as they said with Jesus, crucify him, crucify him. Mm-hmm. But with Jesus, he was innocent. But what did the crowd do? The crowd chose Barabbas over the Christ Jesus. That goes to show you how hateful people can be in society. If they mm-hmm. don't like a person, they will choose somebody that's worse off than them just so that person they don't like can be tortured and tormented. We have to stop thinking these ways. We have to stop thinking about vengeance and making it more worse for so many people.
Yes.
When these people are sent to trial and they are sentenced to prison, whether it be for life or life without, whether it be for the death penalty or even long sentences, what we need to do is we need to pray mm-hmm. for them. We need to ask God to give them wisdom and discernment. We need to ask God to try to bring them closer to him. And we need to be there to try to do it. We are supposed to be God's servants. So we need to, as mm-hmm. much as you may want, we need to take time out to reach out to those behind those prison walls or those in the homeless shelters, those in the communities, wherever they may be, we need to reach out to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's those that have no control over what's happening in their lives. Little children, people that are behind those bars. But we need to look at these people that are helpless, completely helpless, don't have anything mm-hmm. or anyone to protect them. We need to start looking at them as well. So sometimes it pays to go to churches. Sometimes it pays to go out in the streets. I remember years and years ago on Cape Cod in Hyannis, Massachusetts, there was a woman, her name was Hicks, and she would go to the homeless shelters. She'd go to the streets. She was preaching the gospel. And I remember going with her one time. We stopped at the gazebo on Main Street in Hyannis. That's where all the homeless people used to go. And there was a girl. She was 15 years old amongst these homeless people. And I asked what she was doing with them. She said her mother and her stepfather threw her out. They threw her out at 15 years of age, so she had no place to go, so she was homeless. And it's sad because here we are talking about Christianity, talking about godliness, and here we have people that are throwing their children out of their homes at an early age. people that are not taking heed to what's going on in their children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people that are just being hurt so much. So again, like it says in Psalms 139, whoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So we need to look at these things that are being told to us. And I'm going to go back to something I started to, that I mentioned last week. Isaiah spoke of the coming of the Christ. And this is how he described him. One who had no form, nor comeliness, no beauty, that we should desire him, despised and rejected of men. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised and we esteemed him not. It may shock some to learn that this is the description of the one identified by inspired men as being the Christ Jesus, the Son of God and Savior of men. And this is in Isaiah 53, the book of Isaiah chapter 53. But can you imagine if Jesus the Christ was to come into this world now, if he was to come onto this earth, say he was right here in the United States, and he was going around preaching and talking, many of you would probably look at him and say, oh, he's a phony. He's not real. And don't even listen to him or walk away or judge him or whatever. This goes mm-hmm. to show you what God is doing to test us as well. Because he wants to see how we accept people who are different from us. And the Christ Jesus was much different from us because he was preaching the real truth, that he was the mm-hmm. Savior, that he came from above, that he died and was crucified, rose from the dead 3 days later, up into the sky, into the clouds. This was a man that came into this world that had no comeliness. And maybe that's why the crowd was saying, no, crucify him, save Barabbas, crucify. Maybe because they didn't like the appearance of the Christ Jesus. And this is what you're going to see a lot of. You're going to be around a lot of people that don't look comely to you. They don't look handsome to you. They don't look godly to you. But it goes to show you God's ways are much higher than ours. His ways are much higher. And his thoughts are much higher. So we, thinking that we have it all, that we're the best, that we're, that nobody is above us, we have to rethink all of our things because we are sinning against the Most High. Just in our thoughts alone, but in our deeds. And then when people hear about prisoners, whether behind the prison walls or in the streets, in the communities, when people hear about prisoners being abused, severely tortured, prevented, denied, deprived, provoked, harassed, tormented and tortured, we have to feel something. I can't sleep mm-hmm. when I hear about things like this.
Yes.
There was a man, his name was Daryl Rainey in Florida. He was a mentally ill prisoner whom the guards locked into a shower, turned the shower up to 180 degrees, walked away laughing, and left him screaming his heart out. Everyone on the block could hear him screaming. They left him in there so long that when they finally shut the water off and opened the door, all the muscle, all the skin, everything separated from the bones in his body. Did anybody from the DOC apologize to the family? No. This is the country we live in. This is the country we live in. To do something that barbaric. And people, do you think that these people behind those prison walls are not suffering? In Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against the powers and principalities and rulers of darkness in high places in this world. So we are wrestling against evil, good evil,
yes,
good against the evil. And this is what we're fighting against right now. So if you are of the good spirits, then these type of things are going to bother you to no end. It's going to cause you to mm-hmm. lose sleep. Because you're trying to figure out why people can be so violent to do something so barbaric to a human being like that. We need to consider many things. We need to consider, first of all, the abuses, deprivations, provocations, torment, tortures, whatever it might be in our world, in our country, in our across the globe. And we also need to look at how we can help with the mentally ill rather than throwing them in prison, how we can help them from the outside and from the inside. We need to look at forgiveness. And this is something I pray on all the time, morning and evening. I'm always asking God when I pray to help me to forgive those who have trespassed against me. And when we say the Our Father, as you mentioned, as you heard in the beginning when I was praying the Our Father, I didn't say forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Because not one of you out there, I am sure, can actually forgive as you say you forgive. And God is going to forgive us according to the way we pray to him. So when we say let us forgive us our trespasses, help us to forgive those who trespass against us, then God knows that you really are trying to be able to forgive, but you're not saying that you do forgive. Because if you do forgive, we would not have 2.3 million people behind the prison walls. We would not have children being violated, being abused, children being tormented, children being abducted. We wouldn't have all these things. And we would also have a unified country, a unified globe, because there would be no division in government. There would be no division in races or cultures of any sort. We would all be living on the blessings that God bestowed upon us from the very beginning. And I know a lot of you, when you've done good for somebody else and they've shown such appreciation, I know a lot of you have been so thrilled and so feel so good about the good that you've done for somebody else. And this is what we need to think about. When we can come together and we can do something, no matter how small or how big, as long as we know at the end of the day that we did something to help someone else, whether it was with food, clothing, shelter, whether it was with advocating for their justice, whether it's helping them in some other way. At the end of the day, we feel good when we can say we actually did some godly work. And we can do godly work. We can do godly work for the oppressed. And we can do it for both the victims and the perpetrators as long as we remain neutral in helping both sides, helping one to get over their pain and suffering, helping the other one to become closer to God so that they can feel the remorse and state the remorse and demonstrate the remorse.
Yes. Yes.
That's what we have to do.
Yes.
Too many people are taking advantage of those who have been victims or those who have lost their loved ones through crime. They have been so focused on sensationalizing these events, continuing Sorry about that. My computer is about to restart, and I wanted to stop it before anything happened. But that's what it is. We need to. And we have, in this world today, we have judges who are corrupt, not all, many. We have lawyers that are corrupt, not all, but many. We have correctional officers, prison officers. We have so many, even the churches, even a lot of the churches, the same thing. A lot of them corrupt. Mm-hmm. But also the good. So this is where the good and evil comes in, the good and evil spirits that we are working on living amongst. 615, do you want to state your name, or do you want to say a prayer or testimony, or do you want to say a scripture?
I'm not sure. It feels like a little bit of all of those packed into one.
It sounds like godly friend. It sounds like our godly friend Kyle.
Yes, it is.
Please.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I wanted to say, I wanted to underline what you said earlier about we have to care. We have to care. It feels like that's all we do is try to get people to care. And I want to take a different approach and give people a reason to care and to try to give it to them in a story that they understand. Because when I bring up names like Tamara Washington or Gary Brayboy or Daryl Doolin or all of these other names who are waiting to be exonerated, or the minute he has been exonerated, people tend to hear, well, they've gotten out, so the system works. They've gotten their mercy. They've gotten their blessing, if you will. And what they don't often understand or empathize with is all of the pain that goes along that journey before someone ever receives that justice. I want you to picture yourself as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to picture yourself as a child in class. The bell rings, you get up, you're getting ready to go home, and the teacher stops you and says, excuse me, I'm going to need to get this note signed by your parents and bring it back at the end of your suspension.
Suspension?
What are you talking about? What's going on? Excuse me. We don't take questions in this class. You have to go down to the cafeteria. We're an entirely different organization from the lunch ladies. Now, you're confused. It's obvious that your teacher is unhinged. This note that your teacher has given you details how you have launched a violent attack on another student and you've been given 5-day suspension. Now, the problem is you don't know what she's talking about. You weren't involved in it. You weren't there. You weren't in a skirmish or an argument. You know, it's totally false.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, right now you have to get on this bus to get home. And in a few minutes, you're going to have to talk to your parents. And you don't know if your parents are going to believe you or not. So you start thinking real quick. You ask your friends on the bus, hey, Timmy, you were in class. You saw that I didn't do anything today. Can you please stop with me at my house and help me explain this to my parents? I'm sorry. I've got piano practice. Oh. Well, what about you, Nathan, Jessica? Can you guys stop by my house and just, you know, help me defend myself from this allegation just so I can get justice? Just, it'll save me so much pain.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be home at 3:15 on the dot, and I want to play video games. Imagine the horror you feel as you realize you're getting closer and closer to your stop. So Timmy and Jessica and Nathan, whoever on the bus, they don't have the same urgency that you do. Because when you get off the show stop, they keep on riding. Their ride goes on and on. So you get off at your stop and you see your parents' face go from a smile to a frown as they read this note that your teacher has written.
Mm-hmm.
And get in there to your room. I'll be in there in a moment. And you're disciplined, however that looks. And you come back to school to find that your teacher is not upset with you. In fact, it just doesn't even reference this event or this note or any of this. It's as if it didn't happen. Now, you know your teacher is probably not qualified to be teaching anybody's children right now, but that's your authority. That's who you have to run with. And every day when you come home after school, wondering if that teacher feels any doubt or any guilt over what happened, this narrative that you've now got stays with you. It stays with you for years and years and years, and every day you still can't come outside. Your parents still look at you with doubt, with regret. You can even hear the students walking up and down the street when they pass your house. That's where such and such lives. I heard he could never come outside again. Oh, that's good. And your heart just breaks and breaks, and you don't know how much more you can take.
Mm-hmm.
But then something amazing happens.
you hear it in the background. Maybe it's the radio or the TV. Teacher such and such, let's call her Teacher Isabella. Miss Isabella has been suspended from said school district because we've just uncovered a string of events in which she's acted violently. And she's thrown other students under the bus. In fact, she was the one behind the attacks of these previous 15 students. She'd wait in a dark corner, and when no one was around and they were passing, she'd jump out and pop, pop in the back of the head. And whenever a student was closest by, she would write this demerit, this note home, and get the student suspended. Now, you feel this wave of emotion because your mom and your dad are sitting there, they're looking at the table. I mean, they're looking at the TV. And you, Mom, Dad, look, don't you see? See, I told you it wasn't me. I promised. It was never me. And they look at you and say this. That don't prove anything. That proves nothing. She did it to them, doesn't mean she did it to you. You are grounded forever, and we will hear no more about this. That appeal is over. Now, think along the way. Imagine how you would feel about all of the students who knew the truth but couldn't find time to fit it into their schedule or their day or their years to ever speak on your behalf. How would you feel about your parents, who the judges, the administration, if you will, your community?
The district.
Who look at the evidence and ignore it, seeking to side with their initial ruling, despite the overwhelming nature of the evidence or the overwhelming nature of your behavior since then, which is totally counter to the singular event that got you in trouble. We can probably all relate in our lives at some point to being somebody, probably in every character in this story at a different part of our lives. But as a country, it is time for us right now to go back to being the kids on the bus, to get back on the bus and to go back and do the right thing. We can turn this bus around.
Exactly.
And we can go back and speak up on behalf of those who need it, who are calling for us, and help them get a fair stroke of justice. And I'll leave you with that. Thanks for letting me speak.
Exactly.
I agree 100%. Yeah.
You know, it says in Matthew 29:9, verses 9 to 12, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither call ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever shall exalt himself and shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And when you talk about these people that, you know, non-caring and I remember years ago, if the teacher said, called my parents, you know, I knew when I got home I wasn't going to stand a chance because they would take the side of the teachers. But this is a lot of the things that goes on in the communities today, and these teachers are out asking for, you know, higher pay and everything. But, you know, we have a God that sees all, like I say, and we just have to come together. And like you say, Kyle, we need to start looking at others and finding ways to help. You know, this is not happening, in not only in this country, but around the world. It's not happening. And it says in Acts 17, chapter 17, verses 24 to 27, it says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he actually is not far from each of us. So God is, he's very close to us. We just don't realize it because we really, a lot of people are not seeking him. They're not seeking him. And this is what people, this is what we need to do as brothers and sisters worldwide. We need to come together and we need to actually seek God. And I'll tell you, a lot of people of wealth and prestige, they don't, they have to humble themselves. Because in Matthew 5, verses 1 to 12, it says, and seeing the multitude, he went up to the mountains. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I want people that after you have wealth and have been blessed with all kinds of blessings, I want them to hear this specifically, because it's a lot of them that snub or feel that they are better than others. Blessed are the meek. Can you take this, take over, Darlene?
Yes. Yes. Oh, Cal, I feel you. 105, four boys and a girl, and being in an educational system. I guess I was raised by missionaries, and I always take into consideration, and logically, they always too fast, they restored. And I, for some reason, all the children at my children's school, and they took me on as a mama because I learned how to listen to children. And this is what I've always told the parents, listen to your child. I mean, there were so many discrepancies and so many stories. I literally call parents up and say, and ask them, did you hear this or did you hear this? Hear the other? I even had a child take a tape recorder to their classroom. They found out how abusive a teacher was in the classroom. They got parents together, you know, asking to talk to their kids and listen to this tape. And we got together and literally had the teacher moved by the police in handcuffs out of the school. So those are a lot of those type of situations still out here today. As a matter of fact, they're worse today than they were before because our children, you know, we go to school, they go to school, but it's like they're going to school now to be babysitted. But I like to say to my father, thank you, Father, for imprinting your laws onto our hearts and inscribing them in my mind of utmost thoughts and understanding, according to your word. And I desire that all men would treat me and teach me as I would do them. Thank you in the name of Jesus. But I don't know. We have to pray. We have to stay prayed up. And, you know, we have to forgive. One thing about us, our human side, we never forget. And this is how we grow. And we learn not to go certain routes. We have a mistrust for man. The Bible tells you to trust no man, you know, and he is who he is. But I just thank God. I'm glad you called in, young man. I'm glad to hear from you. And if you have anything else to say, call. Hello? I can't hear anything. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead then, and I'm going to play a song. And it's called I Almost Let Go. And we have to remember, he's there for us. Okay? And we don't have to let go. Just call on Jesus, okay? Because he does answer prayers. We have to be strong. It said a race isn't given to the swift, but it's given to the person, to the people who endures to the end. And I'm a believer. I am a believer. And I just thank God for giving me a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of understanding, but I seek more. So I'm going to play this song for you, and I hope you enjoy it. I almost let go. No, I can't get it to play. I'm gonna sing a little bit of it. I almost let go. Didn't seem like life was living anymore. But Jesus took me in and showed me that it's not sin. Thank God he blessed me so I wouldn't let go. My God never left me, so I wouldn't let go. So I'm here today because he blessed me. God bless me, so I wouldn't let go. Okay, I'm going to say, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for affording us the opportunity to come together with Kyle, Leona, and all the other listeners. We ask you, Lord, that you touch their lives and continue, Lord, to spread your wings around them. Keep your angels encamped around them. And anyone, Lord, who's going through a distress, they pray, Lord, that you keep your hand on them and let them know that we are here and we're standing together for the wrongs, for the wrongs to be corrected in our lives. And we can survive without you. I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the truth. I thank you for the light. And I just thank you, Lord, for being with us. Okay. So I don't know if anybody can hear me because I can't hear anything, but I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to be here today. And I thank everyone, each and every one of you, for sharing with us, Kyle, and just know you're not alone, okay? You are not alone. Just like, you know, Jesus was on the cross, you know. He caught up to the Father, you know. He caught up to the Father. And he was all right. He was all right. But I thank you, Kyle, and I thank you, everyone. I'm getting a little bit emotional, so y'all forgive me. Because what Kyle brought up today, I mean, I've lived through things like that, and the way, you know, people, you know, you got these adults who are put in these different positions, and they don't have the compassion, they don't know the Lord, and they don't have any kind of feelings for humanity nor anybody else, or any other kind of spirit. And I just thank him that he's given us those things. He's opening eyes so that we might know. But he's not only what he's expecting us from us, but actually how to love and treat others. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you.